Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
The football history headlines for April 12th features a reduction in penalty yardage for one foul and three great halfbacks of College Football's Hall of Fame coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen for this April 12th edition of your football history headlines. And have you ever noticed when we have those big penalties in the NFL that it's always kind of nice when they have a lesser version of it? I mean, take, for example, the face mask penalty, which it's always a 15-yarder now. But for a while there, the NFL really had it right, and they trickled all the way down to the lower levels into high school level. And I believe the college level, they had a 5-yard face mask penalty if you just unintentionally, like, swiped your hand across the face mask, didn't do any harm, didn't grasp it, didn't twist it. That was a 5-yard penalty. Then you had the more flagrant fouls of grabbing a face mask. That was a 15-yarder. I always thought that was a good rule to have, so there was a little bit lesser of a penalty for something lesser, and one for a major penalty that is dangerous. And they also have some things for substitution fouls, illegal substitutions, a 5-yard penalty, illegal participation, which is a substitution during the play, that's a 15-yarder. So you want to have those segregated out. Those are some good rules. Well, here's one that happened back on April 12, 1940. The NFL reduced the penalty of clipping, according to the footballzebras.com website. Up till 1940, the offense may as well have given up the ball to the defense immediately if they got flagged for clipping. Because before 1940, a clipping penalty was worth 25 yards of penalty enforcement from the spot of the foul. From 1940 to today, the penalty is only 15 yards for clipping. At some time during the 1990s, I believe it was, might be the late 1980s, all levels of football adopted the block in the back rule that partially cleaned up the clipping rule a little bit further. Prior to that change, most any block from behind was considered a clip. So, for instance, an offensive guy comes down, hits a guy right square in the middle of the back, knocks him down, that would have been called a clip. It would have been a 25-yard penalty before 1940. It would have been before 1990, it would have been a 15-yarder. But now the block in the back cleans it up a little bit. It's a 10-yard foul. Great rule and brought in for that. The block in the back fouls are the blocks from behind above the waist and have a 10-yard penalty, while the clip was limited to behind the back below the waist of the offended player. So we can thank that April 12, 1940 rule to take that penalty from a 25-yard penalty, which is pretty harsh, down to 15 yards for a clip. Now let's take a little break and hear from our friends at the PFRA for something special they've got coming up real soon.
The 2021 Professional Football Researchers Association Convention will be held at the Gold Jacket Lounge at the Pro Football Hall of Fame during the final weekend of June. Convention speakers will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the NFL. The fee for the convention is $50 for members and $100 for non-members. The fee includes admission to the convention and Pro Football Hall of Fame, meals on Friday evening and Saturday afternoon, and free parking. All convention activities are subject to COVID-19 protocols. For more details, click on the 2021 PFRA convention link at profootballresearchers.org.
Now it's that time in our show where we're going to go to our Hall of Famers that have birthdays on this April 12th. We're going to start off in 1870 at Fort Barrancas, Florida. It marks the birth of Winchester Osgood, who played halfback for Cornell from 1888 to 1888. 1889 and then again in 1891 to 1892. Also, he played for the Penn Quakers team 1893 and 1894. He seemed to always enjoy the gridiron success too. Cornell had a 28-8 record during his playing time there, and Pennsylvania was 24-3 while he was there. His bio on the footballfoundation.org website goes on to say that in 1893, Penn lost to Yale 14-6, but Osgood was acclaimed because he scored the only touchdown for Penn. It was the first touchdown scored against Yale in three seasons. In 1894, Penn went 12-0 and was the national champions. His athletic prowess was on full display at Cornell, where Osgood received a medal as the school's best all-around athlete. He ran a 440 and shot put for the track team, was an accomplished gymnast, boxer, wrestler, tennis player, and set a record of 5 minutes and 28 seconds in a 2-mile bicycle race. Very impressive. The legendary Yale gritter, Pudge Heffelfinger, who was once a first paid pigskin player, became a writer later in life and gave this description of Osgood. It was downright uncanny to watch him run. Opponents missed him by inches. His body undulated like a snake's. He was the Red Grange of the Pioneer era. Winchester Osgood was honored with induction in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1970 after the National Football Foundation tallied up their votes. April 12, 1944, Los Angeles, California. Southern Cal's bell cow halfback of the era of 1963 to 1965, Mike Garrett, celebrated his day of birth. This celebrated back was a top 10 of the nation's rushing leaders each year he played college football. He was so good, in fact, according to the footballfoundation.org website, bio on Mike's career, he had 3,221 yards, broke the national record set 15 years earlier by Ollie Mattson at the University of San Francisco. Mike also crossed the goal line stripe 30 times, but besides his rushing gains, the versatile Garrett in his career caught 36 passes, returned 43 punts, returned 30 kickoffs, and threw 6 passes. The open field is where he really thrived, and his 1965 game against Cal proved where Mike G returned punts of 87 and 74 yards for scores in the same game. During his collegiate career, Garrett averaged 23 yards in kickoff returns. One can only imagine the accolades of such a player did not go unnoticed. Iron Mike was an All-American in his last 2 years, a unanimous choice in 1965, and in that magical season, he also won the Heisman Trophy, the Viet Memorial Award, and the Pop Warner Award. He was named Athlete of the Year by the YMCA and a North American Athlete by the Helms Foundation. Mike Garrett's collegiate football records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in 1985. After graduation, Mike moved on to the pro level of the gridiron, where he played with the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Diego Chargers from 1966 through 1973 and was an all-pro halfback. April 12, 1966. Hollywood, Florida. Lorenzo White, the standout Michigan State Spartan running back from 1984 to 1987 season, was born. Lorenzo rewrote the school and Big Ten Conference records books and remains the Spartans' all-time leading rusher even to this day. The National Football Foundation shares that White holds nearly every Michigan State record in rushing, including his 1,082 rushing attempts, 4,887 rushing yards, 43 rushing touchdowns, and his 23 100-yard rushing games. At the end of his career, his 4,887 rushing yards were the second most in Big Ten history, and they still rank in the top 10. He also owns two of the top three single-game rushing performances of school history, including a career-best 292 yards against Indiana in 1987. White led the Spartans to the Big Ten title in 1987 and an invite to the Rose Bowl against USC, where he had a top-notch performance. White capped his stellar career with 113 yards, 2 touchdown performance in that win over number 16 USC to help Michigan State earn the number 8 final ranking in the nation. Lorenzo was a first-team All-American, earning unanimous honors in 1985 and a consensus selection in 1987, while finishing fourth in the Heisman Trophy balloting in both seasons. The College Football Hall of Fame proudly placed the display in honor of Lorenzo White into their legendary museum in the year 2019. Lorenzo was a first-round pick of the Houston Oilers in the 1988 NFL Draft, and he played their 7 seasons in Houston, including a stellar Pro Bowl season in 1982, before one final season that he played with the Cleveland Browns in 1995. Boy, we are sure glad you joined us today for this football history headlines, because we told you we had some great halfbacks to talk about on their birthdays. And, you know, that rule change, it really was a great thing that they did that in 1940, because who wants a 25-yard penalty? It's bad enough we have defensive pass interference that can go for 100 miles and really flip the field. But we don't want to have those big penalties, because that's not the way the game's played. But we're glad that there's some changes being made constantly. There's some new rules coming out this year, which I'm excited about. Maybe we'll get into some detail on those before the season starts. But something else I'm excited about is the sportshistorynetwork.com, because over there we have just about 20 podcasts going on right now, and they're from all different kinds of sports yesteryear segments, and some great hosts. They have some great guests, some great subject matter, and if you haven't already, please go over there to sportshistorynetwork.com and check it out. You'll see people like Dana Augister, who has that Historically Speaking podcast. He brings it out once a week, but he is a social media person that's just hitting those Twitter waves all the time, bringing to that sports history, the anniversaries of all sports. Really gets into it. He sort of goes with the season of what's going on there. Same thing with Warren Rogan. He has a Sports Forgotten Heroes podcast. He's another one that sort of travels whatever sports going on. That's what he keeps that content at. Right now, he just had some great golf things with the Masters being played recently. So you want to check out those two podcasts as well as all the other ones. And, of course, you can find the Pigskin Dispatch there also. You can also find the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch at our own website, pigskindispatch.com. And if you hit /podcast there, you'll see all of our podcasts in one place. You could do some great binge listening, maybe it puts you to sleep at night. Maybe it wakes you up in the morning. Maybe it's for that long drive into the office. Whatever it is, we are sure glad that you joined us, and we hope you join us again. And so till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.